Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Man, hasn't 2020 been, it's not been a boring year. That's what I'm going to say. It hasn't been a boring year. And I feel like every month we're all like peeking around the corner at what the next month's going to hold. It's just been so crazy. I heard this really interesting story the other day, actually, about a group of rafters that were going on a month-long rafting trip. They left mid-February when everything was sweet, and they came back a month later in mid-March. And they'd only had like one-way satellite communication with their family, just letting them know that they were okay, so they hadn't heard anything. And they came back in mid-March in America, and a guy met them on the shore when they were bringing their rafts in. He was like, "Have you guys been in touch with anyone?" And they were like, "No." And he started telling them about what's happening in the world with COVID and the stock market and the worldwide toilet paper shortage. And they were like, "This guy's totally pulling our leg," until they got cell phone reception and all their family started messaging them and like, "Grab toilet paper if you can." But what a crazy, they were oblivious. They were totally unaware to what was going on in the world, and then reality hit them hard. And I want to say to you this morning that God wants his church to be aware. God wants his church to be awake during this time. And like that group of rafters, I think that so often we can be totally oblivious to what's going on in the world. We can be like fast asleep, sleepwalking, blissfully unaware of what's going on in the world and what God is doing. But God wants us to be awake. He wants his church to be wide awake. So this morning I'm speaking about being awake. And are you guys awake this morning? Yeah. Hopefully no one's snoozing off already. The most interesting thing about being awake and asleep, and you'll know this if you've had horrible dreams, is when you are asleep, you really do think that you're awake until you wake up. Who's had those dreams where you're just like, "Oh, this is the worst ever," and you wake up and you're like, "Yes, oh, that was just a dream, I'm so relieved." When you are asleep, you really do think that you're awake until you wake up. And I want to ask you this morning, how do you know if you're spiritually awake? How do you know you're not sleeping but you think that you're awake? And I've seen this with my kids. I'm not going to name names. I don't do that to my kids. But we've had quite a few sleepwalking kids. You'll hear noises in the night and they'll be doing weird things around the house. We've had one that ran outside once and down the driveway. And they really do think they're awake. They're talking to you and saying things. And you're like, "No, you know, go back to sleep. This is a nightmare," or you're just sleepwalking. They really think they're awake. Until in the morning they say to you, "Mum, I was having a nightmare last night, wasn't I? I was half asleep, half awake, wasn't I?" And you're like, yep, you were half asleep. And it's interesting when you look into dream studies. I'm not talking about weird stuff, and I'm not talking about prophetic dreams. I'm talking about just studies into what dreams are and why we dream. It's so interesting. If you want to know more, talk to Simon. He's really interested in this area. But there's things you can do. They're called reality checks that you can do when you're sleeping. You have to learn how to do them. And simple little things you do that can help trigger your brain to realize, "I am sleeping right now." One of them is looking at your hand and seeing how many fingers you have. Because when you're dreaming, you never usually have 5 fingers. You always have more. Another reality check is to put your finger through your hand. Because if you're dreaming, your finger normally goes right through. And this morning, I really want this message to be like a reality check for us. I want it to be like a spiritual reality check where we're like, "Actually, am I awake spiritually, or am I sleeping right now?" So who's ready this morning to see if they're awake or not? I feel like there's an epidemic of sleepy Christians right now in the world. Like there's people that are just sleeping right through their life and they're missing out on what God has for them to do. And it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up to the things God has called us to do and the things God has called the church worldwide to do in this generation of people's lives. You know, you're called to be awake right now. You're called to be alive right now in this time in history. You're called to be alive in 2020, but you're not called to be alive and asleep. You're called to be alive and awake. So I really pray that as I share, you know, if we've gone into a slumber in areas, that God would wake us up. And I know there's areas in my life where I am slumbering. And I'm like, "Lord, wake me up." So let's pray before I start. pray with me. Father, I just ask, we don't want to be slumbering people. We don't want to be in dreamland and unaware of what you want us to do in this life and how you want us to live. So I pray this morning as we look at your word that you would do something in our hearts, that you would wake us up in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to do this morning is we're just going to look at three simple passages in the Bible, and we're just going to look at what they're saying to us. And then at the end, as I wrap up, we're going to do a little reality check. We're going to like look at how many fingers we have spiritually. So I'm spinning. I don't have COVID. The people at home are like, I'm so glad I'm at home. Okay, so the first one this morning is wake up. We're going to look at Ephesians 5, 14 to 16. And I'm going to read it from a couple of translations. Ephesians 5, 14 to 16, the first translation is in the New Living Translation. It says, "For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise." I love that. Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead. The next one is the Passion Translation of the same scripture. It says, "This is why the scripture says, arise, you sleeper, rise up from the dead, and the anointed one will shine his light into you. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times." Listen to this next verse. "Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes." I call this point wake up. And I love how it starts off, awake, O sleeper. And then it ends with, take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. Who knows, it's so easy to waste your days. Me, it's so easy to waste my days. I can be so busy being consumed with everyone else's lives. And these days with Instagram, I can be like looking at other people's lives. Netflix, I can be watching movies about other people's lives. Books, I can be absorbing stories about other people's lives. And my days can just go by and I'm just totally consumed with other people's lives. And I'm someone who really loves, I love reading about other people's lives. Who loves true stories? I love them. I love biographies, autobiographies. I love movies that are based on true stories. If I think back to some really impacting ones in my life, I've been impacted by The Diary of Anne Frank, such a good book as a kid reading that. Keith Green, No Compromise, anyone read that? Such a good book. I think about stories like Helen Keller. I remember reading about Helen Keller's teacher, such an amazing story. And I love movies, I love musicals that are based on true stories. Our kids and our family are musical nuts. We love musicals. We're a bit weird. Like, my kids can sing along to most of Les Mis. Sound of Music, classic, love that, based on a true story. Our current favorite is Hamilton. Anyone seen Hamilton? Such a cool musical. If you haven't seen it, so good. Sorry, read it or see it? No, see it. But, you know, there's something that we really must remember, and I think this really spoke to me recently when I was watching Hamilton. And when I was reading a true story about New Zealand history, I realized that I am currently living my autobiography or my musical right now. But I'm so consumed with other people's stories. And if we aren't careful, we can go through life observing other people's stories and never really living the one we were called to live. We're called to live our own story. And I want to challenge you. This right now is the great musical of your life that you are living. This is your musical. This is your show. You're living it right now. And if you're like me, you can be like, oh, I didn't even realize everyone's looking at me. I'm like watching everyone else's life. But this is my musical right now. This is my story. And you might be, yeah, my life right now would make an amazing musical. You know, it's full of drama. It's full of heartache and pain, ups and downs. Some of you might be thinking my life right now would be the most boring musical ever, filled with songs like Honey, Where's My Other Sock? Or like the big finale of What's for Dinner Tonight? That might be what your musical feels like, but You know, we're challenged in Ephesians 5 to wake up, take full advantage of every day. Whether you're in the most boring season ever, you're in the most boring part of your musical ever, all the best. You are challenged to make the most of every day. And Lisa Bevere says, you become dangerous to the enemy when you are fully awake to God. I want to wake you up this morning. This is your life. You get one life, one shot at life. And in the boring parts and in the amazing parts and in the tough parts, this is your story. But you have to make the most of every day. And I love when Simon was talking over the last couple of weeks about the grey areas, how God cares about the grey areas in our lives and the grey decisions we make just as much as he cares about the black and white decisions we make. And I think it's the same with the dull parts of our life. God cares about how you live the boring, mundane parts of your life just as much as how you live the hard times, the high times, the low times. He cares. So I want to say to you to take advantage of every day. Awake, O sleeper. Take full advantage of every day. Wake up. You only have one life. This is your musical. If you remember something from this morning, this is my musical. Make the most of it. Stop being an observer. Start being a participator. So first, I wanted to say wake up. Secondly, I want to say wake up and look around. Wake up and look around right now. So often we can be asleep or we can just be focused on our own lives. But God wants to challenge you to wake up and look around. So we're going to look at John 4, 35 to 38. John 4, 35 to 38 says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Jesus often spoke in parables, and with this story, he was using like terms, harvesting terms that the disciples were familiar with. And what he was saying to them was that salvation was at hand for everyone, for many people, but he was telling them to wake up and look around, that the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. And I wanted to wake you up this morning and remind you that there are people everywhere that are ripe for salvation. We just have to allow God to wake us up. And one thing that really hit me when I was reading this, and I think I've realized it before, but I've forgotten it. The harvest didn't need waking up. It was the harvesters. And I think so often we think, you know, yeah, whatever. But God's like, hey guys, the harvest is ripe. Please wake up. I need you to harvest it. And it's so easy to go about our day and sleep to the influence we carry and the impact that we can have every day with our lives. And no matter how like dull or boring they are, it's time to wake up and realize we have massive influence and there's a ripe harvest around us constantly. And I think so often we're waiting for those big moments for God to like, you know, the ministry call or that anointed occasion. But it's like the everyday stuff with our neighbor, with our friends, with our workmates, with our whānau, that's when God wants to use you to have massive influence. And I think so often we can be asleep to the influence we have. You just get caught in the droll of each day and just going through the motions. And God wants you to make the most of every day. And he wants to wake you up. The harvest is ripe. My story is because of three ordinary ladies. And man, I thank God that they were awake and they were aware of the harvest that was ripe. It started with a lady. She was an ordinary, older neighbor. And she had a lady next door who was a mum. She was wealthy. She was married. She looked like she had everything together. So naturally, you and I would think, oh, that lady's got it all together. Yep, I'll just go on with my life. But thankfully, she was awake to God's voice. And she felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to talk to that lady. I want you to reach out to your neighbor And she was like, that lady's like wealthy, she's married, she's got kids, she looks fine. But God told her to reach out to that neighbor. And that neighbor eventually led that neighbor to the Lord. An amazing story when you know the true story behind it. That lady's life was a mess. It looked like she had everything together, but she was in desperate need for God. And then that ordinary lady, she made a friend in hospital when she was giving birth to another lady that was giving birth. So we started with just an ordinary neighbor whose heart was awake to the harvest around. And then the next step was a friend met a friend. And they struck up a cool friendship, and later on in life, that friend that got led to the Lord by the neighbor, she really felt God move on her heart to reach out to this friend who was struggling and desperately needed hope. And that friend that she reached out to got saved. And that friend was my mum. And then my mum had me. And she was just an ordinary mum. And, you know, who knows, motherhood's just ordinary. But, man, praise God, my mum's heart was awake to the amazing role of being a mum, to the amazing importance of, no matter what life is like, making God a priority, taking her kids to church. And my mum led me to the Lord when my heart was open. As a young girl, I was like, Mum, I want to give my heart to Jesus. And thank God her heart was awake to hear that and led me to the Lord. And it goes on. We've been able to raise our kids with the hope in Jesus and the life in Jesus. And the amazing thing is my mum then led her mum to the Lord and her grandma to the Lord. 5 generations. But it wasn't like an amazing Billy Graham concert or anything that happened. What was it? 3 ordinary people. It was a neighbor, a friend, and a mum who were awake to the harvest being ripe. And I want to wake you up today, because who has neighbors? Who has friends? Who has, like, workmates? Who has family? Like, I'm pretty sure most of us do, unless you live on an island. And I think it's not like Simon said, being oversalty or weird, but just being awake every day. Just being awake and aware to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Because there'll be times where people you work with or neighbors or friends, they get ripe for harvest. And when they're ripe, God will open up those opportunities. But we have to be awake, and I don't want to miss those opportunities. Because I don't know if I'd be here if it wasn't for a neighbor and a friend and a mum. So I want to wake you up to that this morning. Wake up and look around. The fields are ripe. God just needs people to harvest them. That's you and I. He wants ordinary people to reach the lost. Lord, open our eyes. Wake up and look around. I recently heard someone say, and man, it's challenging, but I'm going to challenge you guys with it too. If our life isn't in some way shining the love of Jesus to this lost world, we're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. And it hit me hard. I don't want to be a deck rearranger on the Titanic. I want to reach people with the love of Jesus. And just being awake to the Holy Spirit, it's not a forced striving thing. Man, that's so off-putting. It's just being there and being awake and listening to the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, firstly, wake up. Wake up to the life you live. You are living your musical right now. Whether it's boring or not, wake up and make the most of every day. Secondly, I want to encourage you to wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe. We just need to be awake. We need to be ready. And lastly, I want to encourage you to stay awake. I want to encourage you to stay awake. We're going to look at Mark 13, 32 to 37. Mark 13, 32 to 37, reading from the ESV translation, but concerning that day, all that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard and keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, it's you and me, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Man, how many times in that scripture does it say, keep awake, be on guard, stay awake? And I think it would be really amiss if we just read that and just skimmed past it. Like, if there's so many times in that passage where he's saying that to us, we need to take notice of it. And I think it's so important right now in this time, especially in history, that us as the church stay awake, that we're alert and we're spiritually awake. And man, I just see so many friends and people that I look up to falling asleep spiritually, and it breaks my heart, just going into a slumber. And we're being warned here to stay awake. I'm going to read you a little story now from one of the coolest little stories ever by John Bunyan called The Pilgrim's Progress. I'm not going to read the whole book, don't worry. You're like, whoa. But it's a section called The Enchanted Ground, and I've just adapted it a bit because there was a lot of old English there and even I was struggling to understand it. So I've put it into a bit of Kiwi phrasing. No, not too Kiwi though. Just plainer. So I'm going to read it. This is by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, The Enchanted Ground. I saw then in my dream, sorry, I'll just tell you, this is about the journey of a man called Christian to the promised land, and he's with his friend Hopeful right now, and he's talking with him. I saw then in my dream that they came to a certain country whose air naturally tended to make one drowsy. And here Hopeful began to be very dull and heavy of sleep. And he said to Christian, I'm so drowsy that I can hardly keep my eyes open. Let us lie down here and take one nap. Christian said, by no means. If we sleep, we may never wake up. And Hopeful said, why? Sleep is sweet to the laboring man. We'll be refreshed if we take a nap. And Christian said, do you not remember that one of the shepherds told us to beware of the enchanted ground? He meant by that we should beware of sleeping. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And Hopeful said, I acknowledge that if I had been here alone, by sleeping, I could have run the danger of death. I see it is true that the wise man says two are better than one. And Christian said, now then, to prevent drowsiness in this place, let us talk together. I will sing you first this song. I'm gonna speak the song. I'm not going to sing it. When saints grow sleepy, let them come close and hear how these two pilgrims talk together. Yes, let them learn of them to keep open their drowsy, slumbering eyes. Saints' fellowship, if it be managed well, keeps them awake, and that in spite of hell. And I love that story. I've always remembered it as a kid, the story of the sleepy place where they were warned not to go to sleep. But I love at the end there how it talked about saints' fellowship kept them awake. And you know, God is calling us in this time to be awake and stay awake. And John Bunyan wrote in the story the importance of staying in fellowship with each other, the importance of other people. Like you guys, we keep each other awake, and it's so important. And I want to encourage you to stay awake, to really fight for that. Fight for that fellowship with each other. Keep around others who will prod you when you're getting a bit sleepy spiritually. That's what we need each other for. They give you a little prod when you're getting sleepy. That's your friends. Get some good Christian friends in your life who will give you a little prod. That's your pastors. That's what we're here for. We give you a little prod every Sunday, keep you awake. Listening to preaching, listening to worship, reading your Bible, those are things that prod you to stay awake, to stay wide awake. And can I encourage you, when your passion for church starts to wane, it could be a reality check that you're getting a bit sleepy. Fight for it. Fight for that community with others. Keep it. Keep awake. Just be careful when you start to pull away from Christian friends and community. You know, you could be getting like Hopeful, just settling down for that little nap. Stay awake. Fight for it. You know, Jesus' command to stay awake is a warning against spiritual preoccupation and distraction. And I'm going to read a final scripture this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5, 5-8, and I love this. For you are all children of the light and children of the day. We don't belong to the night nor to darkness. This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep wide awake and clear-headed. For those who are asleep, sleep the night away, and drunkards get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, we must stay alert and clear-headed by placing the breastplate of faith and love over our hearts and a helmet of hope of salvation over our thoughts. And man, we're living in a time where the church needs to not forget her mission. You know, we need to make sure, like Simon said, that we're interpreting culture through the Bible, not the Bible through the culture's latest fads and phases. We need to keep awake, and we need to stop putting our spiritual life and God at the bottom of our priority list. He needs to be at the top. We have to fight for it. We need to stop trying to fit Jesus in only when it's convenient for us. Because who knows, Jesus is never convenient. He's never convenient. It's just time for us to wake up and to start living for Jesus. So this morning I want to encourage you to wake up. Awake, O sleeper, and take full advantage of every day. No matter how dull your day is, whether it's filled with washing socks or it's filled with amazing, crazy adventures, make the most of it. We all have different seasons. Secondly, I want to encourage you to wake up and look around. Don't forget the influence you have every day. And make sure you're wide awake for when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and there's the ripe harvest right there. You could be changing generations like mine was changed. Five generations changed because of an older neighbor who was listening to the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you to keep awake, to stay connected, to fight? When you feel like you're getting a bit drowsy, man, fight for it. So I'm going to conclude, and we're going to do a bit of a reality test this morning, a little reality check on our spiritual lives. But how many people know that when things are left to themselves, they pretty much decay and degrade? Like our renovations of our house, we've been doing it for so long that the rooms we did up are getting old and need redoing again. Who knows, as a parent, you clean a kid's room, how long does it take till it's messy again? Like 5 minutes, it's true. It's not even worth tidying. Man, it feels like that though with us. I think if we don't do anything with our spiritual life, or we just neglect it, I think we're in danger of just falling into a slumber. We have to work hard, we have to fight to stay awake. The enemy actually wants you asleep and ineffective. He really does. And there's a lost world that needs to know the hope of Jesus. It's just waiting for the laborers to wake up. So this morning we're going to do a reality check. We're going to check how many fingers we've got. We're going to check if we can stick a finger through a hand. I want to do this. Let's do a reality check. And I'm ready to be woken up where I'm sleepy. You know, usually when you're asleep, your passion for these things go. Firstly, God's word. When was the last time the Bible came alive as you read it? That's a challenge. Your passion normally goes for the lost. When was the last time you felt an ache in your heart for the lost? Man, sometimes I forget about the lost. Worship. When was the last time you just abandoned yourself in worship to God? Lord, wake us up. I'm giving you a prod and I'm giving me a prod. When was the last time you felt just so much love for the church? Jesus loves the church so much. He thinks she's gorgeous. That's you and me. And so often we don't even make time to love and serve our local church or come along and fellowship with other believers. Lord, wake us up to that again. Prayer. When did you last talk openly and honestly to God and just wait to hear him respond? Living righteously before God. When was the last time you felt that conviction of the Holy Spirit and you came to God and you got it right and you felt washed clean and free? Such a good feeling, not the conviction part, but the part afterwards when you come and you know everything's right again. What about being filled with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you were filled with boldness and joy and just peace and just filled afresh with the Holy Spirit? Like Simon said, it's not just a one-off thing, it's a regular thing, that infilling of the Holy Spirit. What about forgiveness? Because man, when you fall asleep, you start having a backlog of people that you can't forgive, I find. When was the last time you really forgave someone, even though they didn't deserve it? Man, the list could go on and on and on, and I just wanted to encourage you this morning. If you feel like some of those areas, you're like, man, I think I've fallen into a slumber in some of them. You know, that's a really good thing if you realize that you might be in a slumber, because guess what that means? It means you're starting to wake up. When you realize you've been sleeping, it means you're starting to wake up. And I know and I really believe that as you start to wake up, God's going to use you to start waking up others.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.